Our reading this morning will be from Judges chapter 16, verses 15 through 22. And she said to him, "How can you say I love you when your heart is not with me? You have mocked me these three times, and you have not told me where your great strengths lie." And when she pressed him hard with her words day after day and urged him, his soul was vexed to death. And he told her all the heart, and he told her all his heart, and said to her, "A razor has never come upon my head, for I have been a Nazarite to God from my mother's womb. If my head is shaved, then my strength will leave me, and I shall become weak and be like any other man." When Delilah saw that he had told her all his heart, she sent and called the lords of the Philistines, saying, "Come up again, for he has told me all his heart." Then the lords of the Philistines came up to her and brought the money in their hands. She made him sleep on her knees, and she called a man and had him shave off the seven locks of his head. Then she said to torment him, and his strength left him. And she said, "The Philistines are upon you, Samson." And he awoke from the sleep and said, "I will go out as at other times and shake myself free." But he did not know that the Lord had left him. And the Philistines seized him and gouged out his eyes and brought him down to Gaza and bound him with bronze shackles. And he ground at the mill in the prison. But the hair of his head began to grow again after it had been shaved.
I want to thank Brother Jim for that reading. This week's lesson is continuing our series for the month of February. Mike began it last week talking about Adam and Eve, and the series is about couples found in the Bible. And when Mike was up here last Sunday, it occurred to me that my topic would be on this day, which of course is Valentine's Day. I did not plan this. Matter of fact, Mike and I put this together, and it was my idea to put the couples, and it just so happened it fell in February. We needed a four-week topic, and so I looked at these couples and put them together. But I just thought it was kind of funny that during the month in which Valentine's Day, and now today on Valentine's Day, we are talking about couples. So now this week, as you might have been able to tell from the reading that Jim gave us, we're going to be talking about a very, very well-known couple, Samson and Delilah. I think you'd be hard to find people, religious or non-religious. Most people in the world are familiar with this story. They may not understand the background behind it and what God's motives were for these events that took place, but throughout history, this story has been a subject of art and theater and songs and books. Mike talked about how Adam and Eve were kind of known in throughout the world, and I was curious, and I thought I'd find a couple references here and there, but I found one website that had a listing of all the works of art that Samson and Delilah have been the subject of those pieces. And I started at the top, and I started scrolling with my mouse wheel, scrolling. There were too many, I wasn't even going to count them. There's just, you know, lots of artwork that have featured these two subjects. I found it interesting that in Germany and Austria, there are 12 different towns that at some point during the summer have parades dedicated to Samson himself. So it is something that, while their story is very familiar, as I stated, there are lots of people that know this story and know the you know, mostly Samson himself, that really have not dug into the lessons that are available to us from the telling of the story. There are some really deep lessons to be learned. We find the account in Judges 16, where Jim read about these two people and their story. And While Delilah does say to Samson, you don't love me or you wouldn't be, you know, not telling me the truth about the source of your strength, you really do have to wonder if this was a story based on love. It really sounds like a story of deception, of greed, of maybe some lust based upon some of the other choices that Samson had made in his life regarding others in his life. And ultimately, it was a story of destruction. The story is a constant warning, and this is the main key, that if you dabble on the fringes of sin, if you try to live on that edge, you're going to have a bad time. It shows us that sin is very deceptive and it has bad consequences. Now, what do we know about Samson himself? We know more about Samson than we do know about Delilah. We do know that from Judges chapter 13, he was born to a man and a woman, and they were visited, well, initially she was visited by the angel of the Lord, and then later he visited both of them. And they are told that he is to be raised as a Nazarite. Among the things that would be required for that, we find in chapter 13, verse 5 of Judges. No razor shall come upon his head, for the child shall be a Nazarite to God from the womb, and he shall begin to save Israel from the hand of the Philistines. We later learn that his long hair is the source of his strength, which does allow him to be able to save Israel and have vengeance against the Philistines. Judges chapter 14, verse 6 tells about a time that Samson came upon a wild lion that had attacked him and said he didn't have any weapons, but he was able to tear the lion apart and destroy the lion as if he was just dealing with a goat. It was no challenge to him whatsoever based upon the strength that he had. On another occasion in Judges 15, verse 5, Samson went into battle against the Philistines, and he killed 1,000 warriors all by himself just with the jawbone of a donkey. So lots of different examples of the strength that he had. And that's what we do know about him. Now, eventually he does meet Delilah, who ultimately was the source of his downfall. Judges chapter 16, verse 4, earlier in the chapter from when Jim read for us, it says, after this, he loved a woman in the valley of Sorek, whose name was Delilah. And really beyond that, we don't know much about her background. We know that she's a Philistine woman, obviously, but not much more do we get from the scriptures regarding her. Now, this is not the first woman in Samson's life about which we are told. It is interesting that all three of them, though, were Philistine women. They were not Jewish women, you know, a fellow member of the Jewish nation. The first one that we're told of is found in Judges chapter 14, verses 1 and 2. She's referred to as the woman of Timnath. Now, the thing that I think we can take from this lesson, or from her account, is that not being a Jewish woman, his parents object strongly. Are there no women among the Hebrew women that you find attractive or that you would want to be with? And he was very stubborn, and he was very sure of his decision that this is who he wanted to marry. Now, Samson's mother had been told by the angel of the Lord that he would be a chosen vessel to save Israel from the Philistines. And God never lets them know, but this was part of God's plan. He does marry her and wasn't with her very long until she had betrayed him. There had been a riddle that he had posed and said, you can each give me 30 changes of clothing if you can tell me the answer to the riddle. And she, the woman that he had married, asks him for the answer. He does tell her. She betrays him, and he becomes very, very upset because it embarrassed him greatly. Now, in retaliation for that, he goes into another town and he kills 30 people that takes their clothing to settle his end of the bet. Later, he sets 150 pairs of foxes loose in a field with torches tied between their tails. It destroys, it says, their grain stores. It goes into the fields themselves and into orchards and caused a lot of destruction. And then the aforementioned slaughter of the 1,000 warriors with the jawbone. The next woman that we see Samson engage with is, we know even less about her than we do about the other two in his life. It was a prostitute that he visited in Judges chapter 16, verse 1. Samson went to Gaza, and there he saw a prostitute, and he went into her. The men of the town saw Samson go in, and they lie in wait. They said, well, we'll wait till the morning when he is going home or when he's leaving. We'll be able to capture him. Samson had other ideas. He doesn't wait till the morning. I think it said at midnight. He went out, and I don't know that he knew the men were lying in wait, but he decided to have a show of strength. It says he went and tore the gates of the city off of their hinges. I think ripped them off the poles, I think is the wording that it uses, and carried the gates to the top of the hill. I don't think anyone wanted to mess with Samson at that point in time. They were able to see a demonstration of his strength. So we have these two women that we are told different parts of their lives, and then, of course, we come to Delilah. These events lead us to realize that Samson's life was characterized by a series of bad decisions and bad relationships. I'm hard-pressed to say this was sin. Ultimately, it was, but we know God was behind it, behind these actions. And so there is a fine line there to not be too hard on Samson, because we do know the end result was God's will. But he didn't have a traditional, I'm going to say, ministry that some of the other judges in Israel had that went out among the people of the Jewish nation and ministered to them. He had a much different ministry. His was directly to the Philistines, and he had those interactions that did not always have the best outcomes. Now, the same is true for us today. God gave us the free will to do what we want, but he also told us what we know we need to do, and we're not always able to do a good job in exercising our free will in a proper way. Especially in this case, within the frame of marriage, he had very bad decisions, and it did come back to hurt him. Now, it says Samson did love Delilah, but I have to question whether Delilah had much love for Samson. The Lord of after the marriage, we're told the lords of the Philistines came to Delilah and said, "We will each give you 1,100 pieces of silver if you can help us understand where he gets his power." I think I read that generally, I think they thought there were five men, and so this would be 5,500 pieces of silver. And this surely was would have been a good amount of money to Delilah. They want her to seduce him, or I'm trying to think what the word in the King James was, but entice is the word that the King James uses. Basically, they're wanting her to go in and deceive him, to allure him, to cause him to give up this information that he might not normally give up, and obviously up to that point in time had not. These men want her to play dumb and to get him to, in the relationship they had in marriage, to play upon the fact that you can tell me I'm your wife, that type of thing. And so this is where Samson, not being inside a traditional Hebrew marriage, by involving himself with these Philistine people, he put himself in their boxing ring, that's a bad analogy, but he's on their territory. And because of that, the odds are, the circumstances are not in his favor. And they have been able to get to his wife and cause her to be able to turn against him. And so that's just another example, another lesson we can learn, that when we dabble in sin in the world, and we're in the world and we're not in God, God has limits on what he can do to help us, because we've taken ourselves out of his control and put it in the control of the world. But when we get back to Samson and Delilah, she does take the Philistine leaders up on their offer. She chooses that their riches is more important than any bond that she has with this man that she's married and has. Well, actually, I take it back. I don't know that we're actually told that they actually were married. Now that I'm thinking about it, the relationship they were in, I'll leave it at that. Delilah does play her part well, and she does seduce and entice Samson. Initially, though, he was on to her a little bit. Three times she asked him about the source of his great strength, and three different times he gives her answers that were not correct. The first time, he said, if you tie me in flax threads, I'll be powerless, and you can come in and you know, I could be overpowered. Next time he says, if you bind me in new ropes that have never been used before, I'll be powerless and can be overpowered. Third time he says, if you take my hair and you weave it in a certain way and tie it down with the pin, I don't know if that meant tie his hair to the ground like to a stake or whatever, but it says in that time when she says, the Philistines are upon you, he says he was able to and pull the pin out of his hair and was able to get free. Each of these three times she would awake him and say the Philistines are upon him, but he was able to get up and show that he was not powerless. Finally, she plays the if you loved me card, you wouldn't be doing this to me. You would tell me the truth. The Bible implies that she begged, pleaded, whined, repeatedly asking him to tell her the truth. Finally, he grows weary from her protestations, and he does break down. Her persistence wears him down, and does give up, does give her the answer. Kind of a comparison here, just like sin. Sin, if we allow ourselves to be tempted by it, even though we may have no intention on going through with it, eventually sin wins if you allow it to. If you aren't strong yourself, it'll wear you down, just like Samson was worn down by Delilah. So Delilah wears Samson down, and he does finally tell her the truth. He tells about his hair being a symbol of his Nazarite vow, that no razor had ever come upon his head, and that was the source of his power. He trusted Delilah and believed that, well, it's hard to say what he believed. He had to know that on the previous three occasions, she had let the Philistines know what was going on and that there had been an attempt. But once again, it just was a situation where he wore her down. He did not use his best judgment, and he does tell her the secret. And no sooner is he asleep than a man comes in and does remove the seven locks of hair from his head. Just like the other times, she says, Samson, the Philistines are upon you. He gets up as the other times, thinking everything is going to be the same, but this time is different. He realizes that his power is no longer with him, and we're told that was because this time God had left Samson. He had lost his power. This man who was formerly able to do great feats of strength is now powerless. The tragedy is that Samson, you know, was this great man, but based upon the circumstances that he had put his life into, he was not able to overcome that. And as wise as he thought he was, as coy as he thought he was being previously, he did lose that battle with the Philistines. The aftermath of the story is easy to reconstruct. Delilah enjoyed the fruits of her deceptions. She most likely, like I said, became a wealthy woman. Financially, she was set for life. However, in the end, she hadn't gained anything at all. She had lost everything at being a Philistine. She no doubtedly had no change of heart. She had gained nothing of lasting value, especially anything that would have saved her soul. And so in the end, while she gained short-term financially, her soul was lost. Samson's losses were complete as well. He lost everything of value, and he lost it immediately. He lost his freedom. The Philistines seized him right away, and they said bound him with bronze shackles. He lost his vision because the Philistines had gouged out his eyes. He lost his dignity. For the first time, Samson came to Gaza, he was looking and finding pleasure. This time he is in Gaza as a prisoner of the Philistines. He's made to grind the mill in the prison. He's now a slave, and all the things are examples of how sin can tear down even the strongest Christian, the strongest faith can be torn down. He lost more spiritually. And as important as most of us feel our hair is, it was really important to Samson. His hair had never been cut. And it was the external symbol of the vow, of the commitment that he had to the Lord. It identified him and set him apart, even within the Jewish community. A Nazarite vow was something that people would have known. As long as Samson allowed the Lord to be in control, his hair, his hair was his source of strength. But then he allowed Delilah to know the secret, and he lost his power, and he lost his connection with God. Notice that in 16 verse 20, it says that when he got up, he realized that God no longer was there. When his hair was cut, his connection with God was also cut. In that moment, Samson finally realized what Delilah was capable of, and he knew the three other times that she had been not honest with him or had betrayed him, and this time he suffered greatly because he trusted her finally the fourth time. Now, as I said, he lost his power and he lost his hair, but we can easily determine that his power wasn't in his hair. The power was, of course, the relationship he had with God. And it was this act of God leaving him which caused him to lose his strength, not the cutting of the hair. So when Samson awoke, he had no reason to think that God wasn't going to be there, just like he always had. But this time, he had taken God for granted so long in his strength that he toyed around and told Delilah the source, and God did leave him. Because of this bad decision, he was no longer a judge. He was no longer a fit for God. And the same can happen to us. But ultimately, he did fulfill his role for which he had been set aside from birth. At a party that was given to offer sacrifices to one of their gods, a god that we're told is called Dagon, there was a great party. 3,000 people were gathered together, and they brought Samson out to entertain them. And at some point, they put him between two pillars. Samson asks to be able to rest and puts his hand on the pillars, and we know the rest of the story. He summons the courage, really, to go to God and say, God, if you can just give me one last chance, you know, feat of strength, he'll be able to fulfill his role. He asks that the Lord would remember him, and one final time his strength does return to him. He said, let me die with the Philistines. He clearly knew what the outcome of this was going to be. He then pushes on the pillars. It loses the support. The roof loses the support that it needed, and it comes crashing down, and we're told that everyone under it was killed with him. And Samson's family comes and finds his body and takes him away. So we have some lessons here that no matter how much you love somebody, you need to be committed to God more strongly. You need to put God first and not toy with your commitment to God by relying upon your commitment to your wife or your husband, and that we should be stronger than Samson was and not betray our relationship with God
for anyone or anything. At this time, we'll ask Brother Cliff to lead us in a closing prayer, and we will be dismissed to our classes.